listening to Bought and Beloved with Kirby Minnick. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.
Hello, ladies and gents. My name is Kirby Minnick, and welcome to another episode of the Bought and Beloved podcast. Real quick, I just want to apologize for the insane echo that you might be hearing with the audio. I'm in the process of actually moving right now into my very first apartment. Super exciting stuff. New stage of life. And I'm currently furnishing my apartment. So, you know, getting all that good podcast stuff set up so I can put out quality, awesome content. But for the time being, we gotta kind of sacrifice a little bit of this audio quality, but it should be up and running in no time. I am super excited for today's podcast. We are going to be talking about living life on mission. But I'm not just talking about, you know, flying overseas to a third world country in order to, quote unquote, do what, you know, scripture says. I'm talking about implementing Jesus's commission for our lives daily in whatever environment we're in. Every avenue of our life is a mission field, and it needs light, it needs love, it needs the truth of Christ to penetrate through that darkness. This is very fitting also to the sponsor of this week's episode, but more on that later. Now, I'm assuming that there is a majority of you who have heard of the term the Great Commission. But for those of you who want a refresher on what that is and how it relates to us and where it's located in Scripture, we need to take a quick look at what Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says. And he said to them, this is Jesus talking, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." Now, let me give you a little context on this verse. So Jesus had already been nailed to the cross, he has already risen from the grave, and he was going around doing an additional 40 days of ministry and teaching with the remaining 11 disciples and appearing to many others along the way. Now, it is with the 11 disciples that he leaves this great commission, and following after leaving, Now it is with the 11 disciples he leaves this great commission with, and following after leaving that command with them, he was then taken up into heaven. So this is literally, you know, to a degree, this is literally the final words that Jesus left with his disciples all together in this moment. This was the final command that he commissioned them all to go and fulfill. To go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And I love this because this is something that applies to, like I mentioned earlier, every single area of our life. Not just what we do during spring break, you know, when we have a week off. This is what we're called to do every day in our life. I don't know if you're questioning your purpose or what it is that you need to do with your life specifically, but guys, this is it. My friends, this is something that we can apply to every area of our life. We are called to fulfill the Great Commission. We even see that following in verse 20 that the disciples responded to this. They responded to this immediately. It says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs." I mean, look at that. The Lord was working with them, and he supplied confirmation. Now, note that we're not called to be savior in this Great Commission, right? And I think that's something that the enemy really tries to trip us up with, that our call in life is to save everyone. Our call in life is to spread the good news and to plant the seed and to be faithful to water those seeds by discipling other people and things of that sort, and by, you know, having accountability and attending church so we can get properly fed. You know, there are those things that we're called to do, but we are not called to be the Messiah. We are not called to be the saving grace and power in a person's life. We are called to be the vessel, to be the messenger in that, and to be faithful in pursuing God's people the way that he pursues them, with love, with a seeking heart that you know, seeks out the lost, the one that has left the 99, and to love them and you know, guide them back to truth, where the Lord will do the good work in their heart through the seed that we have planted. Guys, the Lord is working within them. The Lord is the one at work. We are called at the end of the day to be obedient and to bring the saving news. And it's as simple as that. It's the Spirit, and we have to remember this, it is the Spirit who convicts and saves the souls. And He has the ability to confirm this message in the hearts of those that have ears to hear and accompany signs for those who have eyes to see. Now, we could read through, you know, all of Acts together and see specifically how each disciple and many other believers went about fulfilling the Great Commission, specifically Paul, by being bold in their faith and traveling all over the place, sharing the good news of Christ's message and His resurrection. But I want us to use this moment specifically to really reflect on how we are fulfilling the Great Commission in our own lives, what it really takes to fulfill this calling, what steps we should take, and the commitment that it actually is. Because with the commission, there is a commitment on our end. Now, there are two actions in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, to go and to proclaim. Now, they are each directed towards something. And I want us to break down those two parts to the Great Commission because it's important for us to understand what this means. So the first thing that Jesus commands us to do in this commission is to go. Where are we called to go? We are called to go into all the world. Jesus wants us to go into every place, every crevice, reaching His people. He wants us to go to the Gentiles, the lost of the lost, and to love on them. He wants us to take advantage of the opportunities that we have in order to make His name greater. He wants to take advantage of our influence and use it for kingdom impact. I mean, just think about the influence that you have in your school alone. Many of us, especially in this social media day and age, only associate influence with someone who has a million followers. But last time I checked, Jesus only had 12 disciples, right? And that influenced Christianity all throughout the Middle East and through Europe and through India and all over the world, right? Think about the influence that you have in those small groups that you're involved in your schools alone, in your yearbook club, in your debate teams, basketball, student council, volleyball, in your friend groups. There are groups, there are places that you can go and get plugged into and serve in and get involved in, and also form connections with people and plant seeds into their lives. I mean, if you don't know where to start with your family. I know that many of us are in families, in households, that Christ is not a common name. Jesus isn't a name and a person that we truly know. We can start in our families. We can start in our communities. We can start at our work and our daily interactions just with normal people that we meet. I mean, we don't have to drop everything and move to Sudan, right? I mean, for some of us, that might be the call that we have in our life and the direction that the Lord is leading us. But guys, we are all commissioned to live life on mission. It doesn't matter where you're from, who you are, what your age is, what background you come from, what you look like, none of that. We are commissioned to live life on mission. Think about it. The disciples literally started from where they were with the influence, the impact, and the opportunities that were presented before them. And they worked their way up and they worked their way outside of where they were to spread the news. So let that be an encouragement that if you have a passion for Jesus and seeing people get saved, you can start right where you are and be a good steward of where the Lord has placed you and seize that opportunity for outreach. Because outreach doesn't have to be, you know, a 50 million miles away for those of you who don't have cars. It can be your neighbors. It can be the kids you babysit. There are so many opportunities for us to not only share the good news, but to be a representation of Christ, to be an ambassador, and to love people the way that Jesus loves, and to speak and share the good news in kind truth the way that He did. I mean, think about Pentecost, for instance, right? For those of you who have read that in Acts, the disciples went out into the temple of Jerusalem and they spread the gospel in different tongues. I mean, think about how far that alone traveled, right? The Holy Spirit, it came upon the disciples and they began speaking in tongues because at Pentecost, people from all over the world, really, at that point, you know, how big really was the world? If, you know, people coming to Jerusalem, but they would come to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost, people from all over the world that spoke different languages, whatever. And it was at that moment that the Holy Spirit was descended upon the disciples, and they began speaking in different tongues and spread the gospel. And from that place, people hearing about the gospel for the first time, Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection, and then receiving that and being saved, they go out from that Pentecost celebration in Jerusalem and they take it back home. They take it to those places. Guys, we have that ability to impact the people, to impact lineages right where we are, because the person that you're sharing the good news with, you never know how far that gospel message will travel through them, through the seed that you planted. We need to go out of our rooms and preach. We need to get out of the courts and proclaim. We need to go out of our comfort zones and defend the gospel. We also have something that the disciples don't have, and that's social media and the internet. We can use our gifts to universally reach people from where we are. I mean, maybe you're a gifted speaker, heyo, or a writer, or an artist, or a musician. You can get the gospel out there just from uploading a video on YouTube or tweeting something or claiming your own domain or starting a podcast. That's wild. That's insane. And we were appointed in this generation to rise up as leaders and use our voices to get the gospel out there into all of the world. And what better way than using the World Wide Web? Now, the second call to action that we see in this is to proclaim. But what is it that we are proclaiming? Well, the good news, of course. The gospel, right? That's what we've been talking about the whole time. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ and how he took on the full weight of our sins so that we can now live a life in relationship with God now and forever. And who is it that we're called to proclaim this to? Where is this action directed towards? It's directed towards the whole creation, everyone. It's inclusive. Those who seem too far gone, those who seem unlovable, those who are blatantly living lives that, you know, reject and discredit God, those who are broken, those who are needing healing, those who are dead. Guys, all things are possible through God. And I know that even those who seem hopeless and who seem unreachable, who seem unable to receive the hope of Jesus, guys, please hear me on this. Do not give up on them. Do not give up on them, because I guarantee you half of the world, half of the people in their lives, probably more than that, have already given up on them. And we, as ambassadors of Christ and having the love of Christ in us, we need to put our hope in Jesus and have hope in other people, that hope is available for them. Guys, that militant atheist in homeroom, he isn't too far gone for the gospel. Your older brother who is into New Age mysticism, he isn't too far gone. Your coworker who was hurt by the church and refuses to talk about it, they aren't too far gone. Real quick, a word from our sponsor this week, The World Race. So The World Race is a missional journey offering young people the opportunity to live out the Great Commission, heyo, around the world. They offer three programs for different age groups and lengths of time. There's the World Race, World Race Gap Year, and World Race Semesters. So just to give you guys some clarity, the World Race is the original 11-month journey for 21 to 35-year-olds, and it visits 11 countries. So that's basically one country a month. Then you have World Race Gap Year, and it's their 9-month journey for 18 to 20-year-olds, and it visits 3 different countries. Now, this program is typically for 18-year-olds right out of high school, so if you're looking for a way to serve and, man, just do some awesome missionary work like we've been talking this whole time, that one's for you. And say that you're looking for a shorter duration, then World Race Semesters are for you. So that's the shorter 1 to 3 month journey for 18 to 22-year-olds, and it visits 1 to 3 countries. Now, all three programs go into the nations to share the gospel and the love of Christ. During all of the World Race journeys, you will live in Christ-centered communities while living missionally. The World Race places its teams with long-term missionary partners or their international bases in order to foster a lasting impact. Teams will assist with the work of God that's taking place in those areas. And the World Race, I mean, it's more than just a mission trip, guys. There is a large focus on discipleship and teaching you what it means to live on mission. It's an opportunity to experience intimacy with God in new ways. But the World Race leadership hopes that when you come home from your race, that you feel equipped to continue living life on mission in your own community or wherever it is that you go next in the world, which I absolutely love. So right now, they are currently accepting applications for trips leaving later this year and in 2020. So you can see all of the trips that they have coming up and find out how to be a part of one at worldrace.org. So if you decide to apply, I would love to pray for you and be the first one to support you. So use code Kirby and the first $50 of your deposit will be covered when you commit to a trip. So yeah, if you're interested in this, I mean, just apply. You never know what's going to happen, what the Lord is going to do. Just visit worldrace.org, use code Kirby, and you can get $50 off of your deposit when you commit to a trip.
Hey guys, we're so glad you joined us today. Would you be willing to take 3 minutes to take our annual Converge Podcast Network survey? You'll be entered into a drawing for a $50 Starbucks gift card. All you have to do is text Converge to 31996 and take our quick 3 minute survey. That's Converge to 31996. All right, let's get back to the podcast.
Now, I'm not implying that we go around and we force the gospel down people's throats, especially those who are very reluctant to receiving this truth. I'm saying do ministry how Jesus did. And that was by forming relationships with the lost and the forgotten, to love them by listening to them and to meet them where they are at with kind truth of scripture. Because it's through an interaction like that that they're going to see Jesus, the real Jesus, not this one that the media is portraying or you know, old lost tradition has. No. But it is through our pursuit of loving them, of planting seeds, of meeting them with where they're at and listening to them and just telling them the hope that is available to them, the forgiveness, the grace, the freedom. Man, that is who they need to see, and that is Jesus. I mean, know that we are called to plant the seeds and God's going to take care of the rest. Just keep loving them and speaking truth over them and let God work. You see, at the end of the day, there are really only two types of people in this world. And Louis Giglio is the one that I heard this from. I don't know if he coined this term or if he got it from someone, but there are only two people in this world, and it's dead people and alive people. We do not get to heaven on the basis of being a good person or being a bad person. Because at the end of the day, what is that standard? How do we measure what is good? How do we measure what is bad? Because if we're measuring the standard of good by biblical standards, God is good. And what is God? God is perfect. None of us are perfect. None of us could ever earn or work our way to heaven. Ecclesiastes 2 verses 8 through 9 makes that very, very clear that it is by grace through faith alone that we have been saved. When we go out into all the world, we need to go to all the people, not just the ones that are seeking God and that are at the edge of their seats, giving their life to Christ. We cannot forget those who are actually lost in the dark. We need to go to them. We need to be that light that dispels the darkness and the shadows that are trying to take over their life. No, we need to go. We need to go and proclaim to all creation. And don't give up on them. I know I said this, but I cannot reiterate this enough. Don't give up on them, because Christ's love can awaken any soul. Look at Paul. He was a head Pharisee known for going around killing Christians. Like, basically, he's the equivalent to ISIS. And he became one of the best examples of living out the Great Commission every single day until his death. Imagine an ISIS member who basically goes around doing the same thing, coming to Christ and radically changing their environment. Do you believe they could genuinely come to know Christ? We need to start believing in Christ's resurrecting power for the dead out there that are living lives that aren't living at all. If your answer is no, then you are underestimating the power of the cross. Remember what verse 20 says, my friends, that through their obedience, Christ was the one at work. Just as anyone can reject a free gift, anyone can receive this free gift and be transformed by it radically. You do not know where a person is at in their walk with the Lord. You don't know. And they might secretly be on the edge of their seat. They might be praying to the Lord in secrecy, hoping that something changes. And you might be the person that is available in that space, in that time, that knows that truth and is able to share it with them. So don't be afraid. Be bold. Be bold in sharing truth with people, with your classmates, with the people that are in your clubs, at your work environment, in different areas of your life. Don't be afraid to share it through word of mouth and to show it through your actions. Think about that one militant atheist, you know? Think about that one kid that gets on everyone's nerves, or the basket case that all the teachers can't stand. Not only do they need Jesus just as much as you and I, but they have access to this free gift just like any one of us. Don't allow fear to stop you from speaking to them about Christ, or even just simply loving them like Christ would and building a relationship with them in the hopes of just showing them what Christianity is actually about. Have hope. Have hope for creation. Yes, not everyone is going to receive this gift, which is heartbreaking. That is the reality. But that should not stop us from having hope and loving his people, because Christ died for all, and that gospel is available for all to receive if they choose to choose him back. You never know. You never know. Now, there are a few things I do want to clear up, and in today's day and age, it can be super tempting to find value in the numbers, right? To get caught up in success and growth and recognition in our work and in the fields of ministry that we go into, especially with the uprise and emphasis of social media. And I'm not going to lie to you guys and say that that hasn't happened to me, you know? Comparison, it's a temptation, especially on social media when you're looking at other people's success and their numbers and their growth and the next thing that they're launching and this and that. Like, there comes days where I compare my platform to the influence of, you know, Sadie Robertson or Christine Kane. I believe the lies that, you know, I'm not doing enough for the kingdom, or that because I'm not gaining influence or seeing drastic change happen before my eyes, then that must mean I'm not good enough and I'm failing at my calling and that I'm insignificant in the story that God is writing. Clearly, I'm not having this lasting impact on the kingdom like I expected, right? Guys, if you have that mentality, I want to clear up those lies for you real quick. Number one, I have four things I really want to say. Number one being the calling on your life, it's not going to be the same as everyone else's. I mean, you might be called to the same field. Like myself, I'm called to preach the word and to teach the word and create content for the glory of God and things like that. But it's not going to look exactly like Sadie Robertson's, right? It's not going to look exactly like Alex Seeley or Christine Kane or all these amazing women, Annie F. Downs, you know? It's not going to look exactly like that, because God is doing a work in you that only can be accomplished through the place that you're at, through the story that you have, the testimony you have, with the influence and the connections you have. God can use you in a way that is very different than other people, and that is something to actually rejoice in. The second thing I want you to know is you are given specific gifts and talents. Don't discredit them. Instead, develop them. Going back to the popular saying of, you know, comparison is the thief of joy, it's easy for us to look at the gifts and the talents of other people and say, God, why didn't I get that? Why didn't you bless me with that ability and that skill and the confidence and that thing or whatever? Whatever God has given you, the gifts, the talents, don't discredit those things. Develop those things, because I guarantee you God gave you those gifts in order to maximize his glory and territory for his kingdom. The third thing I want you to know is that God's timing is the best timing. So don't rush the process or complain about where he has you right now and who he has you around. I mean, think about it. In Scripture, in the Old Testament, David was anointed to be king, but he returned back to his position, right? He went back to the field. He didn't rush the process. Rather, he invested in the moment with where God had him in developing who he was, who he was going to be. God was working on his character, his heart, so that he could lead Israel. And the fourth thing I want to clear up is, little do we know what is taking root in those that we are investing in. We might not see leaves sprouting from the seeds that we're planting in people's lives, but we never know what is taking deep root in the firm foundation. So don't give up. Don't give up on fulfilling the Great Commission when you don't see flourishing happening before your eyes. Have faith and have hope. So let that be food for thought, that you don't have to compare who God created you to be with who he created someone else to be, that you don't have to conform to their mold when God is molding you for something you don't even know to reach people you don't even know yet for his kingdom. You don't have to copy their success and their style to see God move in your life, to fulfill the Great Commission. Please, 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 because the moment you start doing that, it becomes about you and it's not about the mission anymore. Just be you. Live authentically for God in pursuit after him, and he will bless you with influence in whatever scale that looks like, whether it's number influence on social media or influence in the children's ministry you're involved in, or influence within the old lady that you look after in intensive care. I don't know. Wherever you have influence, you know, God is going to bless that when you surrender it to him and you allow it to be a fulfillment of the Great Commission. Because it's not about making your name great. It's about making his message known. I know that we all have the call of commission on our life. And for some of us, that might look like planting a church or being a dance teacher, or going into the corporate world or politics or teaching or engineering or music or public speaking or writing. Regardless, you can all be missionaries wherever you go. I encourage you to go to the third world countries. Yeah, steward your blessings and your giftings and your time and your finances well with helping people. Yes, please do that, especially while you have those resources. But also note that your neighbors need Jesus, your schools, your jobs, your families, your country. If the passion and the drive behind what you're doing is for the Lord and to love lost people, then the field that you are in becomes a mission field. We are called to go out into all the world, the medical world, the judicial world, the psychological world, the media world, first, second, third world, every crevice, every area. It needs Jesus, needs freedom, needs truth. And if you are just genuine in your pursuit after him, and you allow him to use you and develop your calling from a humble and thankful posture, and you're obedient to step where he's calling you, lives will be changed. But yeah, I really hope that you guys enjoyed this week's podcast. Remember to give it a sweet little rating if you haven't done that yet. And I also have an email if you ever have questions. Just visit botandbeloved@gmail.com and you can submit, you know, your questions, your topic ideas. I would be more than glad to speak on that. And I really hope you're all encouraged and that, you know, God, the Holy Spirit, that he highlighted something to you to do, a person to reach out to, a group to invest in, and to leverage that influence that he has given you as a child of God. You have been given authority to step into the domain of darkness and to declare it to leave in the name of Jesus for the sake of his kingdom. So yeah, I love you guys. Have an amazing, amazing week, and I'll see you guys here next week on the Bought and Beloved podcast.
Listening to Bought and Beloved with Kirby Minnick. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com. With so many podcasts to choose from, we're glad you chose to tune in today. We'd like to invite you to listen to one of our other Converge podcast partners. Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo is all about having a dream or calling to serve God, but then daily putting it into action and drawing inspiration on the journey. Great encouragement for those looking to do big things for God. Subscribe today to Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo.